couple weeks ago, I watched a video that was a YouTube video, and it was about these young guys, and they took a helium balloon, and they made it, in retrospect, the size of the sun. And then they made other planets in size of how it would be on a scale of our solar system. And then they went out to the desert, the only place that they could really do an experiment like this. And they took 7 miles of desert, and they did the math, and they started with the sun in the middle, and then they started to triangulate out in a circle what it would look like if you were to see the planets all in a scale. Now, when they got done, you know, they had this time-lapse video that they did, and it took them close to a day to set all this up. And you could see that the sun, as it was just coming up over the horizon, and you could see all the planets way out in the distance. You know, 7 miles is a lot of space. But it was truly remarkable to see, you know, based on their scale, just how small our planet really is and compared to some of these other planets that are out there. And this was unique because this really hadn't been done before. Usually we see maps of scale or scales of our Earth and our planets, and it's on paper, and you can't really get a sense of how big things are. But think about it. Here we are on this planet, hanging out here in the middle of space. You know, we're surrounded in a bubble that provides just the perfect amount of atmospheric pressure, just the right amount of oxygen, just the right amount of water. Well, let's look at Isaiah 40. And we'll begin in verse 26. Isaiah 40, 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? Who calls them all by name? By the greatness of his might and by the strength of his power, not one is missing. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Now God tells us by his power, by his might, by his greatness, our tiny little earth exists. And he has created it in just the perfect way for us. Now when you have the chance to see a video like the one I saw, you start to think, how massive is space? And yet, here we are on this earth, and it's easy to get into the mindset of not thinking outside our own little world that we create. You know, we have our lives, we have our jobs, our friends, our family. We have ups and downs, we have trials. And these things never change. But how often do we stop and think how incredible everything is? You know, God not only created the earth, he created us, each and every one of us. And it says in the Bible that even before we were born, he knew we were going to exist. He says, I planned you, I created you, I formed you. I even decided that I was going to call you. Now, God has given each and every one of us the ability to think and to create. Now think about all the incredible things that we as humans have designed. Now people are exalted for being strong, smart, wealthy. Maybe they're powerful and commanding. But you know, when you start to think like this, when you start to think about maybe the things that you have accomplished in your life, human emotions can start to boil up. Things like pride, lust, ambition. And so we find over in the book of Job, in Job 38, that Job, who had done mighty and great things, has started to think a little too highly of himself. And so God gave him some trials. He let Satan come in and severely test him. But let's look at what God says. And we're going to read a little bit here. So we'll start in verse 1 of Job 38. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, 'This far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Excuse me. Verse 13. Then it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes on the form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld and upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this." And we'll drop down to verse 30. "The waters hardened like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season, or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'?" 36. "And who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together?" God was asking Job if he could understand any of this, if he himself could do any of these things. Well, let's see Job's answer. Look at chapter 41. Actually, chapter 42 and verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" Job finally realized that anything and everything that he had ever done was truly insignificant in the eyes of God. God doesn't care about these types of things. God cares about us staying close to him, reaching out to him. And Job finally saw that he was small in the eyes of God. Now, it's, as I said, it's easy to get caught up in our week-to-week life. But when we read, like we read in chapter 38 of Job, we can reflect on how great God is. How God sees everything. How he holds everything together in place. Let's look at Psalms 147 and verse 3. Psalm 147 and verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. God is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble, but casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises of the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse, and he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his mercy." God looks upon our heart, and he values when we fear him, when we put our hope in him, when we put our trust in him. When you do that, you start to belong to a unique group of people. Let's look over at Malachi 3 and verse 16. Says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him, those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." Those people who keep God's law, who keep in contact with one another, who exhort and lift each other up. Now, this is part of our duty. And we meet weekly on the Sabbath, because God has commanded it. But it should be a time of joy for us. A time of joy and peace. Joy because we get to meet in fellowship with people of like mind and like spirit, like we did at the feast. And peace because it shows in type God's plan in motion for us, and that we can have an understanding of what is coming. I can't paint a bigger, fuller picture than what the Bible plainly says. You know, if we study God's scriptures, we can see the might and the power that belongs to God. And if we do, we cannot help but come away with a deeper love and a deeper respect for God and for what he does for us every day.